Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Thursday. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Our high school football preview is today. We'll preview the four games that will be carried on the Sunbury Broadcasting family of stations tomorrow night. And Paul Keels, the play-by-play voice of Ohio State football, is going to join us. He'll join us at 4:06. Kevin is here, going through every tweet.
Well, I'm trying to figure out how accurate our Twitter map was from yesterday. And if you didn't get a chance to see it, there was a map that was done with the help of Twitter to find a breakdown of popular teams, NFL teams, county by county. And I understand it went down as far as zip code as well, if you really wanted to find it that in depth. I thought it was really good stuff, and I posted it on our Facebook page, also at stevejonesshow.com.
Yes, I saw it. I found it to be exciting.
As the comment is dripped with sarcasm.
Steve, it's just thrilling. Just all of Twitter about Twitter, I guess.
I've had a couple of people comment to me about it that they thought it was a really interesting map.
Well, Kevin, for those of us...
Tell Sean Carey I said hi. Yeah. All right.
Sean Carey, funny man.
For those of us that don't get a Twitter about Twitter or don't have Twitter, what were the findings here in Pennsylvania?
Well, if you break it down by county in our area, in our four-county area, it was Steelers, Eagles, Giants.
In that order?
In that order.
Not surprising.
If you want to get a little more interactive, again, stevejonesshow.com has a link to the interactive map that will take it down quite a bit further.
Jacksonville, northeast corner of Florida, and also some counties in southern Georgia.
Yep.
I thought that what surprised me a little bit was the Denver fans in southern New Mexico. Being closer to Arizona than Denver, I would think that you'd have a lot more Arizona fans there.
Television coverage.
That's possible, yeah.
Here's two words for you. I want you to remember these two words. Peyton Manning.
That will do it,
well,
too.
Well, yeah, I can't really argue with that.
You know, I've been educated in Western Pennsylvania, so many of my friends are out there. They are, Steve and Kevin, absolutely stunned when I tell them that the number one team in northeastern Pennsylvania is the Pittsburgh Steelers when it comes to the NFL. They just really are taken aback by it. They thought, or would think, the Eagles and Jets Giants. And I say no. There are more Steeler bumper stickers, decals on cars around here than any other team. And
well, the Eagles are more popular by a very finite percentage point or even less in Snyder, Northumberland, and Columbia counties. And Columbia County is probably the biggest percentage difference where the Eagles actually outlast the Steelers in popularity. But then it's funny, you get into Luzerne County and it becomes a little bit more on the Steelers side.
Scranton, huge Steeler base, I think.
Yeah, Lackawanna County is another one that the Steelers outnumber the Eagles fans a little bit. Then you start to, and again, the Giants influx comes in there too as you get out toward Pike County.
Mm-hmm. A lot of New Yorkers in the Poconos these days.
York and Adams County, Ravens by just a small percentage point over Steeler fans. Mm-hmm. Eagles come in third.
This is really exciting.
Well, I know you don't find it interesting, but you know I find it. Florida is a mess, by the way, because of the teams that are in Florida. Florida's kind of a mess as far as popular teams.
Are there any?
Well, I mean, like Steve said, that's good. But you know, you have some Tampa Bay influence.
Yeah.
You've got the Jacksonville influence, the Miami influence.
Maybe a little bit of Atlanta Falcons up toward the north. What about the Panhandle? Would you even get like New Orleans Saints?
Give me a county in Florida. I can't think right now of a county in Florida.
Leon County.
All right, I'm calling it out. Give me a second.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to actually come up with one for you.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Here's an interesting. This is what I'm talking about. When you look at Leon County, Florida.
This is what happens when you work with somebody who's been all over the country.
Yeah. When you get into Leon County, Florida, that's starting toward the Panhandle,
right?
Just south of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Dolphins, the Falcons, the Bears, the Packers. Let's see, who else comes in there? The Cowboys come into there, the Bucks, and the Patriots, believe it or not. There is one county in Madison County that the Patriots, Packers, and Saints all have almost the same percentage of fans on this little Twitter-style survey.
So I'll do this Steve way of saying it. One word, snowbirds.
Well, all right, then you get into toward Jaguar country. And the Seahawks have some influence there in Florida.
No.
I kid you not. There is Bradford County, Florida, that is 12, almost 13% Seahawks. I mean, it's really strange. Here's another one. Sumter County, Florida, which is kind of in the middle of Florida, a little north of Orlando.
Yep.
Chiefs by 15% are Chief fans. That leads the way. I mean, Florida is a really, really interesting state when it comes to the mix of fan base.
I wonder if all these were decided, Steve, by the hanging chads left over from the 2000 presidential election.
I don't know.
Hanging tweets, baby.
Yeah. So, Steve, you've got a busy night tonight.
This is based on Twitter traffic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not a lot of senior citizens with Twitter accounts, I don't think.
I would venture to say that's probably true.
And you're using this to let you know who's what?
You know what? If you sit there and spend a few minutes on Twitter and you see that where people are, what teams people are following, you can get a pretty good judge, at least of certain areas, where the loyalties are.
Let's examine that sentence one more time. Once you spend a few minutes on Twitter, let's start with that one.
You immediately lower your IQ by about 8 points.
No.
Okay.
A lot of very intelligent people on Twitter. I'm just saying, but I'm not going to be the one that's. I don't do that stuff.
No.
Florida is a tough state. Let's see. What about Hawaii? What do you think Hawaii would be?
Oh, jeez. Seahawks probably.
All right, Bob. Mm-hmm. What do you think Hawaii would be?
Chicago Bears and the 49ers.
They are the 49ers. They are 49ers, Broncos, Cowboys, Seahawks.
Oh. The reason I said the Bears is because all those flights that go to Hawaii emanate a lot of them out of Chicago. That's the only reason.
Oh, that's an interesting. I didn't thought about that.
United thing. Flies direct. Yeah. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yes, they do, and remember this. There's a lot of people like when Jack Kent Cook bought the Los Angeles Kings. He said his research showed there are a lot of transplanted Canadians in Southern California,
mm-hmm.
and they asked him why attendance was so weak back in the early '70s. He said, "I found out why they left Canada. They don't like hockey."
Yeah, he got the market research 50% right.
Yeah, there are a lot of transplanted Canadians here. They just don't like hockey.
Yeah, the reason they're transplanted is they hate the cold, and ice reminds them of Canada.
That's why they left.
Yeah, exactly.
Now you look at California. California, when it comes to hockey, they produce hockey players. what's happened with Los Angeles, Anaheim, and San Jose. They have people hooked in California on the sport, and the youth hockey is very, very big. Very big.
Yeah.
Today we're going to take a look at our high school football preview, which includes Kevin talking about Shikellamy and Danville. We'll talk to our announcers in the next half hour. Then Paul Keels, the play-by-play voice of Ohio State football, which will allow me to talk actually about the game and not some 140-character account. He put his head down again.
No, I'm looking at it. Listen, this map intrigues me.
We've lost him for the rest of the show, Steve. He's actually interested in cartography now, maps.
Yeah, you want to know why? It's got colors all over it.
Lots of colors.
This is just what you and I have been hoping for.
Yeah. it's a very pleasant diversion for Kevin. Movement, colors, things like that, flashing lights. He loves all that stuff. Should have been a fireman.
The Rams' pocket's very small.
Yeah.
Boy, that's true. I'm not even sure. Is there a pocket out there? I mean,
to be serious for a second, is there not a movement afoot to send the St. Louis Rams packing from whence they came back to the L.A. area?
There is talk.
That's what I've heard.
There is talk. They would have to really sit back and really take a long look at if Kansas City's enough to fill a void there.
In the Midwest, you mean? In that market?
Yeah, in the Midwest, which they probably are. Yeah, a buddy from mine from Orlando just texts, "I'm a Steelers fan." That's good.
Yeah. Well, tell him to get his Twitter account moving so the numbers for Kevin.
Actually, there are 800,000 followers of the Steelers Twitter account.
That's not bad.
It beats my number by a couple of thousand.
Yeah. Steve, the big issue, you know...
By about 799,212.
Give or take 100.
Yeah, it's just surprising that the NFL hasn't moved faster to fill the void in their marketing, meaning the Southern California market.
Look what they've done with it. This is what the NFL has done with it. You have a brand new stadium going up in Minneapolis. You have a brand new stadium in Tampa. You have a brand new... Everywhere you look, there are brand new stadiums where people caved in. Seattle has a brand new stadium. The 49ers have a brand new stadium. Everywhere you look across the landscape, Arizona plays in Glendale in a brand new stadium. They've been able to get sweetheart stadium deals across the board by dangling the Los Angeles carrot in front of everybody. They have brilliantly used that market to get the deals that they felt they needed in certain cities.
And it's still a void in the Southern California part of the West.
Yeah, but they'll get that.
Big 49ers. Big 49ers territory there, though.
Well, there's nobody else.
You really believe this map, don't you?
I do. Cowboys are big, too, in Southern California.
Well, they used to practice out there at Thousand Oaks.
Next half hour, we'll actually talk sports, I promise. We'll come back, Bob Buhner, Steve Jones, and Rand McNally as we continue.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, got to go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory area Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Next half hour, my good friend, Paul Keels, the play-by-play voice of Ohio State football, will join us to talk about the Nittany Lions and the Buckeyes on Saturday nights. We'll get the Ohio State perspective from Paul next half hour. High school football, the Sunbury Broadcasting family of stations, as always, four broadcasts for you coming up. It'll turn out that one will have each side involved. That would be Milton at Sealands Grove. Let's start out with Milton at Sealands Grove, which you will hear the Sealands Grove broadcast on Eagle 107. That means we bring in Pat O'Brien, the play-by-play voice of Sealands Grove football. Pat, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Steve Jones. I appreciate the time.
All right, let's talk about the game at Jersey Shore last week. A lot emotionally goes into a game like that. How did it play out, and what were the emotions as it played out?
Well, we knew coming in both defenses were ranked in AAA in the top five, so we knew it was going to be a slugfest, which it turned out to be, a 16-10 game. But unfortunately, when you have a game like that, turnovers become a big factor, and it did. Special teams, there were some letdowns on the special team side. And give it credit to Jersey Shore. They took advantage of it, scored 10 points, and off a turnover. So when you have a 16-10 game and you score 10 off turnovers, that becomes the big difference in it. The defense for Sealands Grove kept them in the game, some late opportunities. But for the most part, that really is what it came down to. Offensively, Jersey Shore just did enough to take the early lead, take advantage of turnovers, and that was the difference in the game, a 16-10 win for the Jersey Shore Bulldogs as they win the Hack 1. Congrats to them. And Sealands Grove now has changed their goal mindset as they continue through the rest of the season.
So that takes us to the next part of this, Pat. What about reassessing that goal? Because they can still get where they need to go, but how do they have to reassess?
Well, you know, there's some things to fine-tune on the offensive side, the offensive line. You know, it just needs to be able to solidify themselves. They give opportunities for Zach Adams, Javon Batts to be able to do what they do so well athletically and running the ball when you have a 1-2 punch in those two guys. And, you know, this is a week that on paper you think they're going to beat a team like Milton who's down, you know, but you have to be able to take advantage of that and be able to work on those things to prepare yourself for a potentially rematch in the district final game against Jersey Shore. So I think right now, offensively, it starts with the offensive line, and then the defense is going to do their part. And I just got to take advantage of opportunities. And as I mentioned before, special teams, you know, just not giving some easy opportunities to Jersey Shore, which, again, was the big difference. So those two parts, the offensive line providing opportunities for that 1-2 punch, and the special teams getting back to where they've been throughout the season, and that's being very, very good.
Is this a test of maturity?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that, Steve. What's that?
Pat, is this a test of maturity?
I think so. I mean, and then the other factor you have to throw in, it's senior night. And, you know, and anybody that goes through that, and you do with mm-hmm. Penn State, you know, you always wonder what the emotion's going to be like for the seniors coming out. And, you know, you're relying on them to be able to provide that piece. And like I said, and then you rely on them to understand the moment, too, and to be able to take advantage of the opportunity that's still there in front of them without getting too emotionally caught up. So, yes, I think that's a big factor in this, and I'm anxious from a broadcast standpoint to see what the week has been like for them preparing for this matchup tomorrow night against the Milton Black Panthers.
Pat O'Brien, we look forward to your broadcast on Eagle 107 tomorrow night. Thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you, Steve. Enjoy Penn State. Beat Ohio State.
All right, thanks so much. Thank you, Pat. Look forward to it very much. And again, that will be on Eagle 107 tomorrow night at 7 o'clock.
the Valley. We'll have Lewisburg playing at Warrior Run. Carl, our analyst on the Valley, is our good friend, the Chief, Dave Ritchie. Dave, last week, a tough one that they had to play against Southern Columbia. So you watch them go against a team that certainly is usually loaded. In the end, what worked, which impressed you, and then what didn't work?
Well, actually, the passing game, I think, kind of exposed one of Southern Columbia's weaknesses. Trent Gower was able to withstand a lot of pressure and hit his receivers on some short passes that turned into long gains. And the passing game was very well. I think he threw for 240 yards last week. Also, I watched them go 99 yards from their own one-yard line and score a touchdown to make the score 21-14. In the third quarter. They forced three turnovers on Southern, two fumbles and an interception that kept the game at 7-7. But in the long run, it was, I think, Southern's offensive and defensive lines, which were much bigger, that started to dominate. But Lewisburg had nothing to put their heads down about. They played a very good football game against one of, I think, Jim Roth's better football teams.
Is it a game that they should walk out of there actually with some confidence, even though there's no moral victories, but should they have garnered some confidence about that with Warrior Run next?
Well, I think that they really came out with a lot of confidence because they stayed with Southern. I know the score indicates that it looks like they lost pretty bad, but they were driving for a touchdown in the third quarter to make it 21-21 when, unfortunately, they fumbled the ball on Southern's 15-yard line. But these kids from Lewisburg, very, very competitive. I've only seen them one half out of the entire year where I think they were not playing up to their potential. And I think that going into the Warrior Run game, that they're not going to take Warrior Run lightly. They know Warrior Run's a better team than they have been in the past couple of years. And they're looking to solidify maybe a home game in the district playoffs. I think right now they're fourth in district for AA, and they certainly would like to get a home game instead of having to go on the road. So I don't expect any letdown from this team, and I think right now they're feeling pretty good about themselves.
Right. How important will it be tomorrow night for Lewisburg to play with the lead?
I think that they do play, and they do. I think they play better when they don't have to fight back and they get down. I really do. But I expect them to be able to. I think they're going to have a very balanced attack tomorrow night. They've been running the ball well, and Southern took that away from them a little bit. But against Warrior Run, I think they're going to try to improve that. They are, I think, the second fastest overall football team that I've seen play. Southern is fast, and Lewisburg, I think, is right up there with them. And you know as well as I do that they always say you can't coach speed, and this team from one position to another is very, very fast and agile.
Dave, as always, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve, and you guys have a good weekend out there at State College.
Appreciate it. The Chief, Dave Ritchie, Lewisburg at Warrior Run on 100.9 The Valley tomorrow night at 7. We talked about the Selinsgrove Grove side of things when they take on Milton. Now let's get the Milton side of the story with the play-by-play voice of Milton football, Steve Williams, which you'll hear on 1380 WMLP. How tough is it at this stage of the season for this football team, and what positives are you garnering out of it?
Well, it's very tough. This is a team that's only won one game all season long. Last week was the first week that they scored in, I think it was 13 quarters, did not get mercy ruled. They've just taken a lot of beatings this season. They're a young team, three seniors on the offense, four seniors on the defense. So what Coach Goodwin is looking for, you know, at this point of the season is just, you know, some improvement for these guys aiming for next year.
Give me an idea about the quarterback play in this and what you've seen in advancement there.
Well, not a lot, to be honest with you. They started the season with Hunter Snyder, a junior. His first game was his first game as a starter. Took very few snaps in the last 2 years. Lately, Logan Bennett has been under center. Now, Logan got hurt last week. They brought Hunter in for a couple of plays, put Logan back in. some question as to whether Logan is going to be playing tomorrow night at all because of that injury. But just to kind of give you an idea of what the passing game looks like, and they've had three pick sixes against them, and I think only three or four touchdowns all season long passing.
Steve, when you look at Milton, is he playing a lot of underclassmen right now that are getting, quote, a lot of on-the-job training?
Yeah, you know, and that is the bright spot are some of these guys. Actually, a kid by the name of Brandon Stokes playing at fullback in that wing T. He's a tough kid. He does not give up. It doesn't matter if they're trailing by 7 or if they're trailing by 30. He's running as hard as he can into that line, and he runs mostly between the tackles. And recently has really stepped up. He also plays linebacker, has really stepped up his game defensively as well. So he's definitely one of the bright spots.
Selins Grove's in bounce-back mode after the loss to Jersey Shore last week, but it's also senior night there. Steve, what? How fine a line does it have to be for Milton tomorrow night?
Well, you know, it's very, very fine. I mean, you know, it's no secret that that Javon Batts is just one incredible running back. I mean, he's torn up Milton, you know, 2 years ago when he was playing. Of course, he didn't play last year. I think in the one game that they played last year, he actually had a kickoff return and a run from scrimmage, both touchdowns called back for penalties. And I'm sure that Selins Grove sharpened up that game a little bit more. You know, this kid is he's something. You know, if anybody wants to see one of the best running backs this area has produced in years, he's it.
Well, the Selins Grove broadcast, as we mentioned, on Eagle 107. Steve Williams with his outstanding work on WMLP 1380 for the Milton broadcast. Steve, thanks so much.
Thanks, Steve.
We bring in the play-by-play voice of Shikellamy football, which you'll hear right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, Kevin Herr. Shikellamy in Danville. Last week, Shikellamy could not get it going against Loyal Sock. Why?
Well, they had a great start to the game, but I think everything changed, Steve, at the halftime. I mean, literally right at zeros on the clock. Loyal Sock was able to get into the end zone with a pass play in the right back corner of the end zone with a great job of getting the ball into play and keeping feet in bounds. And the worst part was that kind of became a backbreaker. That really changed momentum in the game. Shikellamy had given up some yards there defensively, but at that point, going into the locker room thinking you're going to have a lead and then being down points, being down 4 points at that particular moment, that really changed the complexion of the start of the second half, and really Loyal Sock started to feel much more comfortable in their offense, and Kyle Datras felt more comfortable just doing what he does best, and that's just reading the linebacker, making the right decision, and then just going off to the races in a game in which he had three touchdowns.
What's better at Shikellamy now than a month ago?
I think what's better right now than a month ago is the running game, and that's a big component when it comes to the way they're running their offense based off of the wing T. If they can run the football successfully, all of a sudden the pressure comes off of Christian Slagle and he becomes a better passer, and all of a sudden that passing game becomes very, very dangerous. I think there was a couple of weeks there toward the middle of the season where the running game just wasn't clicking, and they felt they had to go and open up the offense and throw the ball. They were able to do it successfully, but there's been a timing issue the last couple of weeks between Schlegel and his receivers. Fortunately for the Braves, the running game has gone very, very well. And I think that's going to be a big part in the game tomorrow night against Danville.
Let's talk about the matchup with Danville now. What are some things that that Danville will bring to the table that are dangerous? Conversely, what are a couple of matchups that are going to be interesting and could swing the game one way or the other?
Well, I think the dangerous thing for Danville is if they start running the football, they can really shorten up the game. And they've been able to do that with Tom Brouse, the senior fullback, who has about 600 yards, averaging 4 yards a carry. This is a Shikellamy defense that's given up about 4 yards a carry. So this run, this kind of plays into the strength of the Danville offense, and that's running the football. As a matter of fact, Danville's running the football about 87% of the time. A lot of teams have been gambling and throwing multiple formations at them, and that include 8 and 9 in the box and even sometimes 10 in the box, and have forced Danville to throw the football. If Danville starts throwing the football with freshman quarterback Gannon Feldman and he gets comfortable and can stay in the pocket, he's starting to really grow as a quarterback little by little as this season goes on. You know, he's kind of been thrown to the wolves as a freshman, and they've been working with him off and on all through this, well, not more off than, more on than off, but all through the season, trying to get him a little bit more comfortable. And again, if they have a running game that works, and then they can play off that pass, just like the Shikellamy offense, the Danville offense could find themselves in a really comfortable position.
Our thanks to Pat O'Brien, Dave Ritchie, Steve Williams, and Kevin Herr. It's Milton at Sealands Grove tomorrow night. You'll hear the Milton broadcast with Steve Williams on 1380 WMLP. You'll hear the Sealands Grove broadcast with Pat O'Brien on Eagle 107. Lewisburg is at Warrior Run on 100.9 The Valley tomorrow evening, also at 7 o'clock. You'll hear the color commentary of Dave Ritchie in that one. And Danville at Shikellamy in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK with Kevin Herr and the coach, Dick Court. 7 o'clock will be the kickoff, 6:30 the airtime, right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We will come back with more in a moment. Next half hour, Paul Keels, the play-by-play voice of Ohio State football, the preview of the Nittany Lions and the Buckeyes. That starts at 4:06. Next half hour, right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Our thanks to Pat O'Brien, Dave Ritchie, Steve Williams, Kevin Herr for the preview of the games that you'll hear tomorrow night on the Sunbury Broadcasting family of stations. Milton at Sealands Grove, Milton on WMLP 1380, Sealands Grove on Eagle 107. Lewisburg will be in action tomorrow night at Warrior Run on 100.9 The Valley, and of course right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, Danville at Shikellamy, 7 o'clock the kickoff for all of them. Airtime, by the way, on WKOK tomorrow night is set for 6:30. Next half hour, Paul Keels, the play-by-play voice of Ohio State football, will join us as we preview the Nittany Lions and the Buckeyes. Tonight, it'll be the Chargers and the Denver Broncos. Even Kevin might have a little interest in that tonight, as much as he is anti-Thursday Night Football, anti-World Series because of the fact that it's two teams that played in July. In fact, why don't we just shorten the show and tell everybody what you're for?
Well, you know why I'm excited about tonight's Thursday Night Football game.
They're giving away a Ford Fusion?
No, oh. No. Peyton Manning's my fantasy quarterback. Yeah. Yeah, that's why I'm excited.
And the show just slides further into the abyss. All right.
Isn't there a good college football game tonight that we could all sink our teeth into?
You know what? You know, not really. It's Virginia Tech-Miami, which is okay, and it's East Carolina-UConn, which is not okay. There really isn't that. Those are the choices tonight. Tomorrow night's not a bad game. Oregon plays tomorrow night. But you also have the World Series tomorrow night with Kansas City playing at San Francisco in Game 3, which I watched the Royals and the Giants last night. I found it to be intriguing theater to watch how that played out last night.
Sixth inning took too long.
Well, it's baseball,
I'm
Kevin.
I'm
okay.
Kidding.
Thank you.
I'm kidding.
Well, it'll be a clicker night at my household.
Well,
going back and forth between that Ducks game, the Oregon game, and the World Series.
You know what, though? Mark Teixeira, I heard him interviewed the other day, and he was talking about his kids, and his kids, I think, are 5 and 7 years old. And he talked about all the issues that we've talked about, that they should be baseball fans.
Yeah,
but the game takes too long. The game start, you know, he says if that game could start at 7 o'clock in the evening, that'd be great. And you don't get that with the World Series; they don't start it at 7 o'clock in the evening. Now there's a little bit of a compromise in starting at 8:08. But again, that West Coast component's a major problem. I mean, the World Series game should be starting no later than 7:30, and you'd like to get the thing. I mean, it'd be one thing if it started at 8 and ended by 10 o'clock. It's one thing, we talk about the soccer component.
Mm-hmm.
When you watch soccer and you watch basketball, and soccer is becoming more and more popular every month, basketball has its level of popularity. Now, what does each one of them have? Continuous action. In basketball, it's up and down. It's up and down, up and down, up and down. It takes 2 hours. Soccer, it's a running clock, and the ball's almost always in play. It's almost always in play. I mean, every once in a while, you have to stop for a corner kick or a throw-in, but that only takes seconds. Baseball, it's, you know, Teixeira says, I stand out at first base. It's one stoppage after another. He's in favor of a pitch clock, by the way.
They're using them in the Arizona Winter Leagues, and it actually has really picked up the pace of the game, though, at 2 hours, 15 minutes.
And that's exactly the pace people want to see. If you're going to have 162 games, which is just too many games, but with payroll, as Tony Knopp and I talked about, with payroll, you can't change that. They need the 81 home dates. They can't reduce it to 70. They need the 11 home dates to help them meet payroll. So if you're going to have 162, you might as well shorten the game up a bit. Paul Keel's next half hour to talk about Ohio State and Penn State.